don't understand it. I wore the opposite shirt yesterday, and there's no reaction. And tonight it's like, kill him, or we love you, either one. Gosh, consistency. That's what we want. Hey, let's pray, shall we? Father, we give you thanks. We thank you that you're sovereign, that you are commander of the universe. And Father, I pray that tonight would bring us to a point of surrender, complete surrender to you, because we trust you. Even when we don't see what you're doing or don't understand what you're doing or don't see how you're going to bring it all about. Oh, Father, I pray that your sovereignty is what brings us peace. And so I pray that you take a humble attempt, a feeble attempt to try to make much of you and try to explain sovereignty. I feel like when preachers just kind of jump in and say, this is it, and then I have a complete understanding, God, I don't ever want to get to that point. I want to hold on to truth, but always be open to, gosh, make it more real. So God, make it more real to me and to us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would convict and encourage whatever is necessary to make us look like Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone who agrees says, amen. Amen. Isn't it amazing that the people of Israel, in chapter 14 of Exodus, they watch God split the Red Sea so that they can walk across it. And about three chapters later, they're freaking out because they don't know where they're going to get anything to drink. And you would think that the God who could deliver them and could move, it's like moving an ocean out of the way so you can just walk across, he could figure out how to make a drinking fountain. But are we really any different? Like, we'll read stories about what it is that God's done, or maybe you've seen God step in and do something, and all of a sudden, when something else hits you, we all of a sudden go, but what about this God? Or why won't you come through? Or don't you care? Isn't that one that comes up a lot? When we're not understanding the storm, the circumstance that we're facing, the first thing that we ask, and friends, this isn't a slam against us. This is just reality. Because the disciples did it when Jesus was in the boat. He told them to get in the boat, and then a storm hit. He fell asleep. Think about it. He fell asleep on the boat. He told them we're going to go across, and he fell asleep. Have you ever felt like God fell asleep on you even when you were obedient? You say, well, they were in the presence of God. They're in the presence of Jesus in the boat. I bet they weren't afraid. They were terrified. They woke him up saying, don't you care if we drown? Have you been there? God, don't you care? And isn't it amazing that from our limited perspectives, we sit and think that God doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. Friends, we got to remember, God has lived out all of your tomorrows. He's lived out every single one of them. He is unfolding his plan. And yet somehow in his unfolding of his plan, we are still making choices, and God in his foreknowledge knows exactly what we're going to do. And so in chapter 17, they complain to Moses, did you just bring out here to die? Like, we don't have anywhere to drink. And guys, I'll be honest, I probably would have said the same thing, especially if I have my kids. And if they're tiny and we're walking through the wilderness, like, where are we going? I don't know, wherever God says. Well, that's not good enough because this guy's got to drink. And so God says, pick up your staff. Remember, you smacked it against the Nile and it turned to blood. Pick that thing up and hit the rock. And he hits a rock and water pours out. And friends, I feel like that's just one small little story to remind us what it is that God can do. But you may say, but Brian, this is a long time ago. In February, I'd finished preaching. And on the drive home, I had my oldest, he had his permit at the time, and he's driving my truck. And I'm just sitting there, and it's a big deal, kind of a control freak. Anybody else like that? And so to give control over to my son that I could think you might kill us on the way home, but we all know the Lord, so just go for it. That's fine. Let's go. And so he's actually doing a good job, and the phone rings, and it's my mom. And she said, I didn't want to call you before you preached. I want you to be able to focus on your message, but I need to tell you that Randy died. I'm like, what? See, I have a cousin named Megan. She's the preacher of the family. I don't get to see her a ton, but I feel like out of all the cousins, I feel like there's a kinship because we got the same family business. Like, I feel like we kind of relate. And Megan travels all over the world and preaches and has an incredible book out, and I'm just a huge fan. And she's the life of the party. I'm like, Randy's her husband. Like, Randy died? He's 35 at the time, give or take. They got a little five-year-old named Foster and a little, what, two-year-old, something like that. Jedediah. And it didn't compute. I'm just sitting there on the phone, and I'm really thankful Tyler was driving because I'm not understanding. I'm like, God, in my mind, God, why? This doesn't make any sense. You been there? And they didn't know what it was at the time, but ultimately they found out it was a heart attack. And knowing what she had to do is, I think 2 a.m, and I mean, the ambulance came and took him away. Can you imagine you watch your husband being taken away as you have to stay there with your kids? I didn't get it. The thing is, friends, I've learned from the scriptures that I can be as honest as I want to with God in prayer. I can be as raw honest with him. Read the Psalms. I mean, I think I brought this one up before, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? It's one thing to ask God, how long will you forget me? It's another thing to throw that word forever in. That's the sass. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? There's this desperation in David's prayer. And by going through the Psalms, I'm like, okay, so this is how I'm allowed to pray. And maybe for some of you, it's sitting there going, I would never speak to God like that. Here's the thing, you're very polite when you pray, but you're a liar. I mean, if you just go to God and you're always saying, thank you for this day, when you're not really thankful, why are you not telling the God of the universe when you're not thankful so you can just say, God, would you please help? Because maybe he's just waiting for you to ask. And so I remember hanging up the phone. And Tyler asked what was going on. Dylan was in the back seat. And I just told him, I said, I don't get this, guys. And the thing is, it's COVID. And I wanted, with everything in me, I wanted to get down there that day. But I couldn't. My mother-in-law is going through multiple myeloma. And so because she's high risk, I can't go because I don't want to bring, if I did get COVID, I want to bring it home. And I wanted my wife to be able to go visit her mom whenever she wanted. And so I stayed back. But here's the thing, I knew Megan had this amazing community of people. And I knew they'd love her. And they would love her better than I do. And I knew they would step in, and they did. I mean, a few of them moved in with her. That's the church, friends. That's what the church does. Can I just do a side note here real quick? Friends, the church is not a place. The church is not an event. Here's what that word ekklesia actually means. The word for church. It's not a Jesus word. It's not a religious term. This is what it means. A gathering of people brought together to fulfill a purpose. A gathering of people brought together to fulfill a purpose. That's what that word means. And when we do not live like that, we are not living out the call of the church that Jesus gave to us. Guys, it hit me. My boys, even a couple days later, my boys looked at my wife and said, we've never seen Dad this sad. Again, I wanted to get out there, but it was a couple weeks later. I finally said, my wife was up visiting her mom. I was like, this is the time. So I texted Megan. I said, hey, do you mind if I come down? She said she was at baseball practice. I think it's for the nephews. And so I said, I'll be there at this time. I show up, and she's coming toward me, but she can't tell it's me because I've got my mask on. And so she just keeps walking, and I finally took my mask off. And she kind of teared up and kind of loosened up, and I just hugged her and her friend Haley. Haley became like the little bodyguard, so I hugged the both of them, and she's got Jedediah. And And they said, hey, if you got to go home, it's fine. I don't mind. I'll just turn around and go home. I don't want to bug you. It was like a little bit of, maybe like an hour drive. I was like, it's fine. She goes, no, give me an hour and come by the house. So I had the address. But the thing is, I'd never been to their new house. She said, when you get there, just come on in. I'd never been inside. I'm just hoping Google's right. So I show up and I try the door and I'm like, it's opening. And I'm really praying this is her house. And I'm looking for pictures and I don't see any. I'm looking for Megan and like, what if like Sam comes out? I'm like, hey, I think this might be the wrong house. And you just kind of back out. How do you get out of that one? So I just had this thing. I'm like, God, please, please solidify her faith. And that was my prayer for those couple weeks. God, just make her faith, just increase it. Not to not be honest, just increase it so she would be completely honest. And here's the thing with my cousin. She's so raw, honest about stuff, and it just is so refreshing. And so I walk in, and I just sit down. All of a sudden, she comes down, and first thing she said is, Brian, have you read this book? I'm like, no. No, tell me what it is. And I actually bought it because it's phenomenal. And I just simply asked her this. I said, how are you in Jesus? And guys, she's crying. She's got tears coming down her face, but she said this. She said, that's never faltered. I'll never forget that. I was like, wow. Like, never faltered. Her next question was, what do you think heaven's like? And I go, crud. She goes, no, serious, what do you think heaven's like? Because how could there be no tears in heaven and he's there and we're not with him? See, there wasn't this question if he was. She knew he was. But how could there be no tears in heaven if he's there and we're not? I said, here's the thing, Meg. I think it's this. I think God, because God lives outside of time, he exists outside of time, that heaven and being in the presence of God is outside of time. So what if it's when he died and boom, right there because you're outside of time? Like, what if it's that? She's just got tears coming down her face. Friends, knowing that God is sovereign does not mean that we won't experience pain. Rather, knowing that God is sovereign gives us the ability to walk through pain and to come out the other end. Friends, I've always said that Megan is tenacious in her faith. Tenacious. But I'm convinced that as she goes through this, she will be ferocious. I remember the next day after I got the call, I'm listening to one of her messages. She preached at a church that's just kind of not very far from where we live. But she preached it back in October. And then I listened to it the day after all this happened. And it was so eerie to listen to her message as she's preaching this concept of God's sovereignty and that there's things that God will allow into our lives that may break us, but it's for our good. And I'm listening to as she's preaching faithfully what the scriptures say. I mean, she's going for it, but I'm 4 months after knowing what it is she's gonna go through. And I'm just tearing up, just, and I'm in the garage and I'm working out. And man, I worked out hard. My God, I don't understand it. But God, I come back to your great and your good. That if I have to just declare that you're great and you're good, when I don't get it, then I'll continue to go back to that. I've already said this line, and there's a couple people that brought it, and I've never forgotten it. And I'm paraphrasing it, but if you don't see the good in it yet, it's because God's not done with it yet. Like, remember that. If you don't see it, he's not done with it. Friends, when we look at Daniel chapter 3, it's that story, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You know that one? I mean, there's an old school song about when they go into the fire furnace, they will never last. I'm like, okay. And I know the cool old Christian songs, but when we start putting ourselves into this, think about it. These three, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, their names were changed. Why? Because their names that they were given, all of them pointed to the fact of Yahweh, God. It was some aspect of God. And so when Nebuchadnezzar took the people of Israel into captivity and brought them out of Israel into Babylon, He said, I want the best of the best, and I want them to come, and I want them to be trained up for me. And it was a 3-year process. And one of the first things that they did was change the name. And instead of it being names that were after Yahweh, change the names that went after gods of Babylon that they worshiped. So it's almost like we want to change your identity because you're ours. And then they started teaching them things from the occult, satanic practices. Guys, these three, and then Daniel, you have the fourth. These four, I guarantee you, did not feel like they belonged. They were not in a culture, in a place where they were feeling like, this is us, this is what we're about. Friends, followers of Jesus, I promise you this, you should not feel at home here. We're just passing through. We're passing through on mission. Friends, you're gonna have people trying to teach you things, and you hold on to the truth of what Jesus has said through his word. You're gonna have people that try to change your identity that based upon, okay, whatever you're thinking or feeling, and this isn't who you are, this is who you really are. You hold on to what the scriptures say about you. Ladies, I brought this up a couple nights ago. One more time as a reminder. Ladies, you were created in the very image of God. Ladies, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you are a daughter of the King. There is your value. Do not let anyone ever take that away. Do not ever allow anyone to try to objectify or identify you as anything less than that, because that is who you are. Gentlemen, you are sons of the Almighty. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you've been created in the very image of God. Just like ladies, you've been created in the very image of God. And gentlemen, we don't need to compare ourselves with who does this or what man can fix that or fix that car or build that house or who can do what, friends. We just walk forward knowing that our identity is grounded in who Jesus is and who he's made us to be. So you got to picture these three. They go through the training, top of the class. And about 20 years later, you get to chapter 3. They've been elevated. They've been promoted in the administration of Nebuchadnezzar, who's kind of out of his mind. And Nebuchadnezzar builds this huge idol. Really, it's representing himself. And he says, okay, we're going to do this thing. Anytime the band plays, everyone's got to bow down to this thing and worship it. And if you don't, you're going to be thrown into a furnace and you're going to die. Guys, you ever wonder what those three felt when all of a sudden the music started to play? That first note, maybe their heart's just going, oh, here it is. We're not going down, right? No, we're not going down. We're not going down for that. That's not even impressive. We're not going down. It starts playing, getting louder. And all of a sudden the first person goes down. The next person, people behind them, people in front of them, and they just stood there. And then Nebuchadnezzar gets word about it. Verse 13 of Daniel 3, the Nebuchadnezzar in furious rage commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, I just kind of sit there and go, what kind of band is this? Like, what kind of music comes out? Like, I'm thinking, it's just, that's what I hear when I look at this list of instruments. So if you're not ready to bow down when everything just kind of vomits out of these instruments all together at one time, if you're ready to do it, fine and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And then watch this next question. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Uh-oh. Friends, he could say that. Why? Because he'd already defeated it. He defeated the people of Israel. And to defeat the people means that your gods were stronger than their gods. So in his mind, it's like, well, what God is there that can save you? Guys, I wonder if in that moment, he's like, okay, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. I wonder if maybe Jesus is just sitting on his throne, and then he hears Nebuchadnezzar go, and what God will save you out of my hands? And then Jesus just goes, he looks at the seraphim, the fiery angels going, I'll be right back. And then he just kind of takes a step. Because then look at these three and their response. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, he's the king. They just first named the king. It's like, oh, Neb. Oh, your question is cute. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we know what? They're speaking to the most powerful man on the planet. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Are you kidding me? Did they talk about at first, before it all happened? Hey, what are we going to say? Hey, let's come up. As they're all dropping, what are we going to say? You know he's going to be ticked. What should we say? We should say, it's none of your business. Yeah, that'll be great. We're going to die anyways. Who cares? Wow, that's hard. Okay, here we go. Just joking. No, it says, verse 17, if this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able. Friends, if you have your Bible open, circle that phrase, is able. Why? Because that's sovereign. The God that we serve, he is able. He can do this. We know he can do whatever he wants to do. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And then listen to the certainty. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And then watch these words. And this is what my cousin Megan preached in that message. And it blew my mind. Look at these next three words. But if not. Friends, we have this idea, and she, when she brought up this concept, I went, wow. Friends, we got to get out of this what if Christianity. Well, what if I step up and God doesn't come through? What if this circumstance happens and I have to, what if I put myself out there and God doesn't? That's kind of how we live. What if I stand and it gets worse? Isn't that how we live? We got to get rid of what if Christianity and come back to even if Christianity. Isn't that what they said? Our God that we serve, he will deliver us from your hands. But if not, even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down. Friends, following Jesus is not about this. Hey, I commit my life to Christ. And then Jesus sticks us in a wagon, in a nice little pillow we can sit on. He gives us a Starbucks and then just kind of pulls us along as comfortable as possible. When he said, hey, you want to be a disciple of mine? Deny yourself, pick up your cross daily and come follow me. Friends, that's the call to commitment. That's the call to discipleship. If anyone ever comes and says, when you surrender to Jesus, everything's great. The only thing they have to do is prove that from the Bible, and they can't. Do you realize that most of the disciples that said yes to Jesus died a martyr's death? So did God fail? Or were they simply even if followers of Jesus? Why? Because God's able to do whatever he wants. When you see that phrase, but if not, will you be that type of follower? And it's not, well, I believe in Christianity so much, guys, I'm going to be honest. Now listen to the whole thing. Don't misquote me. Sometimes you'll come up, some people will come up and say, hey, I love when you said this. And I'm like, I didn't say any of that. Like, don't misquote me on this. So make sure you get this. Christianity is not worth it. But Christ is. It's about him. It's about Jesus. It's about relations. It's about him. Guys, it's not just a belief system. It's connected to the person of God. And so if it's just this belief system, and guys, for those of you who love talking theology and love doctrine, do not give that up, but do not love that at the expense of your love affair with the Creator. We learn more about him because we want to love him better. Not just so that we can know about him from a distance. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Drop the mic. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. 7 times hotter. Have you ever just looked at that and thought, why? Because is level 1 fire not hot enough to kill somebody? He's like, I am so angry. 7 times hotter. Why?
Just do it. Oh, yes, yes. Okay, okay.
This is like a 10. This is the most powerful person having a temper tantrum. He goes on. He ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Why do you need the mighty men? Friends, there's Boy Scouts that are taught to tie knots. I mean, I gave you the 6-year-old go, hey, if you're in the Boy Scouts, hey, could you tie a knot? They're like, what kind do you want? Bam. But it's like, no, 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 get Bubba. Get Bubba, the big old mighty warrior. He's got like no neck, shoulders up to his ear. He's like, oh, tie a knot. Why do you need that guy? Here it is, temper tantrum. Verse 21, then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because, now it might have backfired. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whoops. Maybe I overreacted. Verse 23.